This is Glenn Houser with World of Radio, 1885. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded July 6th, Australia, Bahamas, Bougainville, Bhutan, Brazil, Bulgaria, Cuba, Eritrea, India, Israel, Korea North, Korea South, Mexico, Myanmar, Newfoundland, New Zealand, North America, Papua New Guinea, Russia, Rwanda, Saudi Arabia, Thailand, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, on the Australian Radio DX Club mailing list, Craig Seeger has some news, July 4th from the North. In case you're wondering where it's all up to, just a note to advise that we hope to have 4KZ, 5055 kHz, on the air by late next week from Innisfail, Queensland, with 1 kilowatt in inverted V antenna. The holdup has been due to constant rain preventing us from putting the support pole in. We have had a special QSL card printed, and we do not require return postage, says Al Curtin, General Manager of NQ Radio. FMDXer Rob Ross in London, Ontario, bagged a bunch of Bahamas stations around 15 UT June 27th during a big sporadic-y opening. Most of them are in Nassau. Here are the ones he reports. On 101.9 ZNJY, Joy FM. On 103.5 ZSR. Yes, they said Z rather than Z in that case. On 106.5 ZNST FM or 106 hits. On 107.1 ZNS1. On 107.9 ZNS2. On 104.5 another ZNS1. On 100.3 ZNJ 100 Jams, J-A-M-Z. On 96.9 ZNGR, or Guardian Radio, in Nassau, Bahamas. Ron Howard in California found BBS Bhutan 6035 on the air later than usual July 1st. He tuned in at 1330 and they went off just after 1400. He's not sure if this is a new extended schedule or an anomaly. A pleasant surprise anyway. There was a call-in program in vernacular, but the callers were singing indigenous songs via the phone lines. No accompanying music, just solo singing, except for one rather young girl. They were adults. The program ended at 1354, and they went through their unique indigenous music and singing until 1400. He checked the next day as early as 12:30 and found it was already off the air as well as July 3rd. So it was a one-day event so far. Ron also monitors NBC Bougainville, Papua New Guinea on 3325 and found that most days for a week it was cutting off within a few minutes of 1200 UT, except it was not on the air June 29th. He did log it all the other days, June 28th through July 3rd. Meanwhile, RRI Palangkaraya Indonesia remained off the air from that same frequency. It appears a Brazilian station may have reactivated on 5015 or 5016, an unidentified frequency, reported by Alexandre Davis Sailer on the Rádio Escuras group. What station is this, he says, heard via the SDR in Santa Catarina. Constant pop music, electronic and rap in English. This was in the evening of July 1st. Daniel Williams in Brazil, who monitors and keeps an updated list of activity on the tropical bands in Brazil, had reported that Rádio Cultura de Cuiabá, with 1 kilowatt, had been very irregular this year, mostly relaying Super Radio Deus El Amor, Certainly not that kind of programming. But then Ariovaldo Lobrito adds, this station was off the air, but it recently returned from Cuiabá with 1 kilowatt. Most Brazilian stations are off frequency, either by a little bit or quite a lot. I measured a couple of them on July 3rd after 06 UT. 9725.454 was Radio Evangelizar, which for quite a long time had been slightly below 9725. And Radio Voz Missionaria on 9665.870. It had a better signal than the other one. Some music was audible. In WRTH-FB, Magdiel Cruz in Mexico reports July 2nd, between 22 and 23 UT, seems to be a DRM signal, but narrower than usual, around 9750. So that could be the Brazilian, which has been reported testing with low power from the Radio Nacional da Amazônia site in Brasilia. A picture of his receiver, it's actually tuned to 9751.70. One of Havana's English frequencies, 6145, has been missing a lot lately when I check in the evenings, mostly after 05 UT, but it's also supposed to be on before that, starting at 01, and I believe it's also been missing during that period, leaving only one English frequency, 6,000 kilohertz, during the first few hours. I wonder if they finally concluded that running four parallel transmitters after 05 UT on the same band was a bit excessive. Here's a strange I've not noticed anyone else reporting. A series of beeps coming out of Radio Marti frequencies, which are, of course, jammed by Cuba. This happens when Radio Marti is not using them at times of day when it's off. Of course, we know that the Cuban jamming in some form, perhaps just a bit of pulsing, often continues far beyond the Marti schedule. Anyhow, June 30th, around 010 UT, on 13605, I was hearing intermittent beeps of varying pitches. This was with the BFO on, so the beeps were coming from slightly different frequencies. At this time, they were either in pairs or four beeps in a row of the same pitch before the pitch changed for another set. This was very much like the beep play I had logged previously on another Cuban jamming frequency, 11930. But there were a lot more beeps in a row at that time. I'm guessing the various jamming site operators are playing around, perhaps performing for each other, or to mystify spy interceptors. There was also a weak continuous carrier, about 13602.9, which might have been part of this. To WB Radio, Anke Petersen in Denmark reports hearing the two Eritrean intruders in the 40-meter band, which are quite sporadic, but they were there on July 1st, before and after 18 UT. Voice of the Broad Masses of Eritrea, Program 1, on 7150 and Program 2 on 7180. Actually, both of them, he says, were about 30 hertz above the individual frequencies. The higher one identified in Arabic at 1802 as Huna Asmara. The other one was in vernacular. Wolfgang Büschel noted horrible interference and almost 1 kilohertz tone, or heterodyne, emanating from 7349.005, June 30th at 0334. That turned out to be the Urdu service of All India Radio in Mumbai, supposed to be on 7340, 9 kilohertz lower. And it was interfering with Dengue Kurdistan, which is on 7350. This went on for at least an hour. But when he rechecked at 0945, it was back on 7340.004, as heard on a remote receiver in New Delhi. On WRTH-FB, Ani Hassana Mubarak in Jakarta says, don't miss it, the Voice of Indonesia presents the first broadcast of its Dutch language service, today July 1st at 15 to 1530 UT on shortwave 9525 and streaming www.voi.co.id, also via satellite on Telcom One. Well, how about that? Finally broadcasting in the former colonial language. Of course, we well recall that Radio Nederland, while it existed, broadcast a great deal in Indonesian. Actually closer to 9526, of course, and previously this had been a full hour in Chinese. This may well now be the only international broadcaster in the Dutch language, with the exception of stations originating in Holland, like the mighty KBC, which runs commercials in Dutch during English broadcasts. Israel via International Vacuum. Kanziki in Michigan on the Mayor tip sheet has included some interesting loggings he made from satellite monitoring, both video and audio. This one is video. It's on Galaxy 23 at 121 degrees west, 3.910 gigahertz horizontal, 14400 MSPS. It's called I-24, Israel News Network. They have a stream in English running 24/7 with news and features. He thinks it may be rather new. The transponder is a bit eclectic. Stream 1 remains Pursuit Network with hunting and fishing shows, but the rest are new, such as ET, Taiwan Television in Chinese, was carried before. Stream number 2 is Israel's I-24 in French, and number 3, I-24 in English. He found 64% reception and steady. Both are 1080i HD. This was June 24th between 1550 and 1615. And I-24 has a lowercase I in their logo. I'd also seen some promos for this on my local cable system, Suddenlink, but it's on a very high-tier channel in the 700s. And it was not obvious that the I stood for Israel. Anyhow, a competitor perhaps to Al Jazeera, if it continue to exist. Speaking of which, Ron Howard in California sends us a link to a YouTube from Al Jazeera English. Posted July 4th, it's all about Shokaze, the broadcast from Japan to North Korea concerning abductions. And I'm going to pronounce the link since he's made it a small URL, but be careful about the capitalization. GOO.GL/3D(Y)9(E)K. More to last week's item about the 4885 frequency of VOH, Echo of Hope, South Korea, carrying different programming than their several other frequencies. All of this from Ron Howard. He even heard an ID in English, Radio Free Korea. But that was not actually about this station. It's a program called Radio Broadcasting Guide, which they're repeating hour after hour, explaining the non-parallelism. It's about other stations, or at least related stations. Every so often, they sound a bell three times. Chris Kodlak, specialist in Korean broadcasting, explains further on WRTH-FB via Ron. 4885 has gone rogue and is looping each hour with IDs about every 10 minutes. And he explains about Radio Free Korea, referring to the station on 1143. This is the equivalent of stunting, I think. They're messing around with their frequencies and programming. And North Korea is doing the same right now, too. So who knows what they're up to with an RFK ID in there. I had a very big Spradiky FMDX opening on June 30th into UT July 1st, centered on Arizona. Lots of stations heard from there and adjacent states, including some from Mexico. All the details have been sent out in my almost daily log reports and also in the new DX Listening Digest, number 17-27, when published via worldofradio.com. You're listening to World of Radio 1885. Our thanks this week for financial support from Chuck Ermatinger, who sent a contribution in U.S. funds, but not necessarily via PayPal, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute via check or money order in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Last week, Ron Howard reported hearing an English language lesson on Myanmar Radio 5985, Monday, June 26, from 1220 to 1229. So he checked the following Monday, July 3rd, between 1215 and 1245, when no English was heard. Further checking, Wednesday, July 5th at 1236, there it was going again. Say It in English is the title of the program already in progress, a dialogue about Tom's aunt learning to drive and having an accident. If only she had listened to me. If only she had been more careful. If only she had stopped in time and so forth. It closed with the program ID in English at 1247. So it may appear on Monday and Wednesday. The exact timing's not yet known. Now, about the absence of CKZN Newfoundland from 6160, which I also mentioned last week, there had been no explanation. But we started to find out why the following day after I recorded the program. Richard Langley in New Brunswick had an inquiry out and got a cryptic reply, he says, from CBC in St. John's. Could it be they've shut off the transmitter to see if anyone complains, particularly from the target area? He got a reply from Terry Brett, who said, "Thanks, Richard. Presently doing some testing on CKZN to check our coverage area." I had an inquiry out to other people at CBC, and about the same time on June 29th, I got this reply. It's from Katie Rowe, K-A-T-I-E-R-O-W-E, Senior Communications Officer of CBC Newfoundland and Labrador. "Hi, Glenn. They are currently conducting some testing to gauge listenership. I've been advised that they will likely be off air for a couple of more weeks." I say, there you go, another Australia-like test to justify turning off shortwave permanently. Prove them wrong and let them know you want to keep listening, especially if you're in Labrador. Richard Cuff, Pennsylvania, replies on the NASPA group, "I know I would miss them. They have been an enjoyable companion, especially when I'm away from home and unable to connect to the internet via Wi-Fi, and especially when de-expeditioning. After all, there's not much palatable English language programming on air, so I will be sending them a note. Not sure how important they consider a disaffected listener to CBC Goose Bay in Pennsylvania, but perhaps we can collectively impress that shortwave usage enables broadcasters to reach and impact audiences beyond typical borders." And this from Kai Ludwig in Germany. CWRTH 2017, pages 30 and 31, quoting the CBC's senior remote area transmitter technologist. What a title to make an employee feel important. At St. John's, with the statement that CKZN will even have a new 1-kilowatt transmitter within the next few years. Kai says it looks as if such an investment proposal has now been filed, woke up sleeping dogs at management, and here we have the result, which is hardly a surprise after no money had been allocated anymore to purchase spare parts for the shortwave transmitter at Vancouver, the very same model as at St. John's, and the same goes for the CFRX in Toronto. They should have accounted all this under medium wave, the approach that kept shortwave at Berlin Britz alive for an additional decade. The statement that the current test is planned to last for weeks indicates that I fear the transmitter could be already off for good and would only be reactivated in case there's a real outcry in Labrador. How likely is this? July 2nd at 0605, I found Radio New Zealand International on a new frequency, 9700, instead of 11725. Or rather, it's a very old frequency, but new at this time span. And their website confirms that change went into effect July 2nd. So now we have less of 13,840. That ends at 259 when they switch to 11,725. And then at 0459 to 9700. And at 0659, they still change to 7425, which runs for 6 hours and still on 6170, starting at 1259. Mike Cooper refers us to a long, interesting feature story about Radio Dandal Kura. It's called Taking the Fight Against Boko Haram to the Airwaves. It moved on June 27th at the website of www.irinnews.org. North American pirates have some fun parodying each other. One of the best heard with the strongest signal has been Wolverine Radio, which plays music on a certain theme or theme word frequently. Lots of tunes must take quite a bit of preparation. We enjoy listening to it. Now there's another Wolverine Radio reported, except this one is not spelled W-O-L-V-E-R-I-N-E, but instead, as we can tell because they put out a slow scan TV image, W-O-L-V-U-R-E-E-N. In Free Radio Weekly, Philip Kosky in Rhode Island heard it June 25th until 23:05 on 6929 Upper Sideband. And then it moved to 6936 USB before signing off with the slow scan TV. Also reported by Mark Taylor, Wisconsin, in the NASPA flash sheet, June 26th at 0104. Oh, he quotes the spelling of this with two O's, Wolverine. Thanks to Michael Cunningham in Brisbane for telling us that ABC Radio National in Australia has been airing a two-part documentary about broadcasting in Papua New Guinea. The title of the program is Earshot, and you should find it on their program archive under that name at abc.net.au/radio-national/programs. The original air dates were June 26th and 27th. John Wesley Smith and Mike Baraklev forward a press release from Radio Sputnik, proudly proclaiming that they've gone live on FM in Washington, D.C. That, of course, is the Russian government station. Of course, aliens cannot own a broadcast outlet in the U.S., so who is renting this to them? They only mention a frequency 105.5 and not even the call letters or exact location. But I tracked it down to a 99-watt translator in Reston, Virginia, which means it may have trouble even reaching the District of Columbia. It's separately owned, W288BS, which was previously carrying the bluegrass service of WAMU, but they had to relinquish it. Craig Christ in Manassas, Virginia, says he cannot hear it. Unless for bragging rights, what's the point of doing this? Here's a clandestine we've not seen reported lately, Radio Itahuka for Rwanda from Madagascar, 15420. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria was hearing it in Kirundi. It's Saturdays only at 18 to 19, but he had a very weak signal. I sometimes listen to Saudi Arabia's Quran on 11820 if I can split it off from WRMI on 11825. Larry Will in Mount Airy, Maryland, takes a different approach. He says, at 2109 UT, July 3rd, my favorite program, Arabic Quran on 11820, mixing with Brother Scare on 11825. This happens every day. Sometimes the mixing of the two stations makes for hilariously entertaining listening. In case you were holding out hope that the BBC might be able to resume its shortwave relay in Thailand, Kai Ludwig says, apparently not. A Bangkok newspaper reported about a statement issued by the BBC office there. Due to lacking license plus financial constraints, they have to close the affected transmissions permanently. The facility will be dismantled. 45 job positions are lost. Also mentions that the head of this office had been sued for reports about corruption by government officials. Mike Cooper sends a story from the Palo Alto, California Daily Post of June 29th titled signaling the end. The site of a historic radio station that picked up signs of trouble before the attack on Pearl Harbor has been added to the Palo Alto Baylands Nature Preserve, which could lead to it being demolished. City Council voted 9-0 on June 19th in favor of dedicating 36.5 acres of land at the former International Telephone and Telegraph, ITT, antenna field at 2601 East Bayshore Road to become part of the preserve. The land includes an abandoned radio station, warehouse building, and 22 antennas. The land will now be reserved for park, playground, recreation, or conservation purposes. Mike Terry reminds us that the Maritime Radio Night of Nights number 18 is to be held on July 12th. It's a commemorative CW operation commencing at 5:01 p.m. Pacific Time, midnight UT, July 13th. From historic coast stations KPH and KFS in California, with Coast Guard stations and shipboard stations joining in. Many of the shore stations will be watching and calling on 500 kilohertz, with a working frequency of 426 for KPH and 448 for NMC, NMW, and NMQ. The stations assigned high frequencies will also be in use, and ham station K6 KPH. That's at the Point Reyes receiver site, the frequencies to be posted. Perhaps you can access them via the homepage of LWCA.org. Besides the three air times inherited on WRMI on Sundays, Kim Elliott's shortwave radiogram has added another one via the Kostin Broad, Bulgaria, on 9400 Saturdays at 16 UT. Walt Samaniev, at his remote listening site at Masset, Haida Gwaii Islands, British Columbia, was surprised and very happy that he could receive and decode Kim Elliott's retirement project. He was not expecting to be able to, but it was perhaps coming in with 90% accuracy on July 1st at 16:17. Confirmed on July 1st, the brand new airtime, I think it's new, for World of Radio on WRMI, Saturday at 2300 UT on 11580. And repeated 3 hours later on the same at 0200 UT Sundays. Guess what's been added to the WRMI oldies channel, 9395 at least. June 29th at 1252, I was hearing commercials and then the Power Hour. Now that Joyce Riley is deceased, her X program is expanding. Not only on WWCR 7490 and 13845 between 12 and 15 UT weekdays, but also during the same hours on 9395 from WRMI. And after 13 UT for the final 2 hours, 9455 joins in. They do, however, break away for VOA News at the top of the hour. While, of course, WWCR does not. The propagation outlook from Boulder. G1 storm conditions likely July 13th, with active levels likely on the 14th due to the influence of a recurrent negative polarity coronal hole high-speed stream, A and K indices being at 23 and 5 July 13th. A lesser peak of 11 and 3 July 21st and 22nd. Solar flux from 70 no higher than 72 through July. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 1885.